So listen, a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. The saints are going to the kingdom. The ones who reject Christ are going to hell. You think God is going to allow us to see those people separated from him? No. Why would he do that to his saints?
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Delight Yourself in the Lord, and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Today we're going to talk about Psalms 37. We're not going to go over the whole Psalms, but we're going to go over the first portion of it. Psalms 37, 1 through 11. This psalm was written by King David, the king of Israel. He was a man that God called after his own heart. Now, if you read about King David in the Bible, you'll find out that he committed great sins, yet he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart because he yearned to be with God. He yearned for the presence of God. Even though he was a sinner, he had faith in God. He wanted to fellowship with God. He wanted the presence of God. We have something more than what King David had. You see, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, the Holy Spirit would be put upon somebody or around them. However, Jesus said that we now have a helper, and the Holy Spirit comes to live within the believer. There's a big difference, because before Jesus sacrificed on the cross, before he ascended to the Father and the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, before all that happened, the Holy Spirit would not dwell in the body of the man, because it was not cleansed. God will not put his spirit into something that is not holy. God will separate himself from all unholiness. But see, through Jesus Christ, we have something more than David had. We have the cleansing of Jesus Christ, and that's what this communion was all about. We are cleansed from all unrighteousness through Christ, so now God can dwell within us. So when we go through this Psalms 37 of David, I want you to understand that we have a lot more than what he has or had. We have a lot more. We have a lot more than what he had. He had the presence of God around him. We had the presence of God within us. Yet even though he did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling within his bodily temple, he had a great insight to God. Now, as believers, we have a much greater insight to God than King David had, because we have the Spirit of God within us, and we should be exercising that. But let's begin now in Psalms 37, starting in verse 1. Now, this has to do with evil people versus believers in God. Now, in King David's time, this is Old Testament, he believed in the Messiah to come, but he did not know him as Jesus. But yet God's revelation was shining through, because see, the hand of man wrote the Bible, but the Spirit of God inspired it. Never forget that. Never let somebody say, well, man wrote the Bible. So let's begin in Psalms 37, starting with verse 1. David tells us, do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. Now, he's telling us two things right in this very first verse. The first thing he's saying is, don't get all flustered when you see evil going around you. Don't get all bent out of shape when you see evil people at work, or you see evil people at school, or around you in your neighborhood. Don't get all worked up over that. But the other thing you don't want to do is you don't want to become envious. Well, Pastor James, how can you become envious over someone who's doing wrong? Well, you can. I tell you, people tell me all the time, everyone else is doing it. It's no big deal. I can do the same thing they're doing. Why do they get away with it and I can't? He's saying, don't do that. Don't look at somebody who's getting away with whatever they're doing and get all flustered about it and then become envious and say, well, I want some of that action. Everybody's drinking, everybody's smoking, everybody's partying, everybody's going to the bars, everyone's going to the strip clubs. Why can't I? They're doing it and they're having fun. But see, there's a warning. There's a warning in this psalm. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. You see, the evil people, the unbelievers, the people who put God aside and live their lives for themselves, they're decaying, they're wasting away. Not just physically, because outwardly they look like they're having prosperity, amen? But inside, their soul is dying. They're withering away. And when God returns, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be cast into the pits of hell for not accepting the free gift of Jesus Christ. Their day's coming. Don't become like them, or you will join them. You don't want to be a part of what's coming to them in the end. There is no prosperity in the flesh. It's all temporal. It's all coming to an end. See, the believer has an outlook that goes further than this life. Because if you put everything into this life, guess what? You're going to lose. I don't care how young you are, how strong you are, how rich you are, how healthy you are. You're coming to an end physically one day. And it don't matter how much fun you're having right now or how much fun you have your whole entire life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth when he returns and says, depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Now listen to this. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. God isn't a party pooper. He's not out to be a killjoy. He is telling you to trust in him and do good. And then what is the result of trusting in God? Because that's the first thing you need to do. In order to do good, you need to trust in God. Trusting in God means that you're going to obey his word, and that is going to lead you to doing good. And then what's going to happen? You're going to dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. He is trying to lead you into a peaceful life. Away from strife and angry fights and conflict and health problems that come with the sin of this world. He loves you and he wants to lead you into a peaceful life. Some of the things that we call fun are bad for us. Not everything, but the sinful things are. Even if there is some pleasure in them, they catch up with you. They catch up. You can't outrun sin. It's always there once you're engaged in it. And it will follow you and it will overtake you and it will consume you and it will destroy you. And that's not what God wants. Rather, in verse 4, God wants us to delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now see, to me, this is where this sermon hinges. This is where it lies. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now I want you to think about that verse. Because God gave it to me years ago when I was a baby Christian. See, I would turn on the TV and I would hear these preachers on there. And I'm not knocking preachers, but there are some out there that will teach you the gospel of prosperity. If you believe in God, he'll give you whatever you ask for. No, if you trust in the Lord, he will give you whatever is in his will to give you. And if you're trusted in God, you'll know the difference between what you want, what you think you need, and what he wants for you. That's why it says delight yourself. You delight yourself in the Lord by seeking his presence. You seek his presence by reading God's word, speaking with him in prayer. Notice how I said with him, not to him, but with him. Conversations two ways. We listen and we talk. And we fellowship, not just in church. Everybody should have Christian friends outside of church that they fellowship with. You should have the presence of God around you throughout the day, delighting in it, knowing that God is by your side no matter where you are, what you're doing. He's already been through everything you're ever going to think of that could happen to you. He's gone before you. Just follow him and he'll lead you through. Delight yourself in that. And guess what starts to happen? Your desires become aligned with God's desires. My mom used to tell me, be careful of your friends that you pick to hang around with. Because the people you hang around with are the people you become like. That's a biblical principle. And I noticed that when I had evil friends, I had evil thoughts. And when I had evil thoughts, I started to speak evil words. And when I started to speak evil words, I started to do evil deeds. It's little steps, and it all starts with the wrong friend. But see, Jesus is the kind of friend that you can delight yourself in. And when you hang around him enough, you start to act like him. Because you'll start to think like him, and then you'll start to speak like him, and then your actions will be like him. Hence, we have the word Christian, which means Christ-like. You follow me on this. So you delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, when I first heard that verse, I thought, wow, if I do all this religious stuff, then I can get a car, a house, money. No. I was a baby Christian, and I heard that scripture, and I thought it was all about religion. But if you spend enough time with God, you'll start to learn something. And that is, it is a personal relationship. You see, I can speak about God to you, but you have to spend the time with him on your own. See, you can come to church every day, but that's not going to make you a Christian. It's the quality of time that you spend with God. The quality of time. What do I mean by that? Well, are you reading your Bible every day? Do you have a good study Bible that tells you what you're reading? Or are you just going through the words? You have just a devotional at home and you think that's enough? I can read one page of my devotional. That's not delighting yourself in the Lord. Think about it for a minute. If you're married or you're in a relationship and your other half is just coming around once in a while, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day, and doing all the talking and not listening to you. And when they do hear you, they're not even paying attention to what you have to say. Would you really feel that that person had a relationship with you? Would you really feel that that person was delighted to be in your presence? To delight in the Lord is to treat him as a person. And to give him great respect and reverence. Because he is real and he desires to fellowship with us. To delight in the Lord is to fellowship with him. King David didn't have what we have. I keep saying that because he only had the presence of God's Spirit around him, not within him. But believers, I say again, they have the Holy Spirit within. This building is not God. This building is just a place where his precious children come to meet. But within us, that's where God dwells. And this is where we delight that he's inside of us. You can't tell people to come to my church because it's filled with God's Spirit. They need to see it in your life. They need to look at you and say, wow, what a difference I see in the people who go to a Word from God Bible church. They care about one another, but they also care about me. They love one another, but they're also showing me love. You want people to come to church? Act like you go to a church. Did you all hear that? You want people to come to your church? Show them. Just don't tell them about it. They're watching you. You mention a church to them and they'll start watching you. They won't even tell you. They may not even know they're watching you. But they'll watch you. I want to see if they cuss. I want to see if they drink. I want to see if they party. I want to see if they lose their temper over nothing. They may not know the nine fruits of the Spirit, but they're certainly watching out for them. And they might even test you. Do they really delight in the Lord? I'm going to push their buttons and see if they go off. And then you become, when you break from the pack, when you lose who you are in Christ, you become one of the evildoers in their eyes. Because you acted just like them. Now listen, this isn't about being a good person. The reason why God wants us to follow his word and to delight in him is because he wants to bring us to bigger, greater heights than where we are. We can't proclaim the good news to all the nations if we ourselves aren't living the good news. So when you delight yourself in the Lord, you're going to start getting your heart's desires because your heart's going to turn towards him. Amen. Now, number five says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. So let's read 4 and 5 together. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Commit. Some people are afraid of commitment. Well, I will do this when I'm in church. But I don't want to do it when I go home. I don't want to do it in front of my friends at work. What will they think of me? I don't care what man thinks of me. I care what God thinks of me. And I don't care just for the sense that I don't care, but because I want to please God before I please man. I have been threatened. I have been cursed. I have been ridiculed. I have been cast out. And I'm still here preaching it. You can't talk about my friend like that and make me give up on him. I'm not giving up on God. I'm committed. And I want my church to be committed to God. Because I know that if you're committed to God, you'll be committed to one another, including me. Then I can trust you more because God can trust you. But if God says he doesn't trust you, then I can't trust you. And if God says he can't trust me, then you can't trust me. So I have to remain committed to God. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about intent. What are your intentions in your walk with God? Are you intending to commit your entire life to him, to surrender it? Or are you just going to be superficial and enjoy the materialistic blessings but miss out on the spiritual blessings? Because you can do that. You can be in a beautiful church with lots of pretties around. But you could miss the most important thing. And if I thought for a minute that my church became so endowed with bells and whistles, with distractions, that it was missing the point of Jesus, I would close it down and go back to the garage. I would do that. And if any of you doubt that, you don't know me. Because I would rather have a little with God than much with man. Because all of that stuff's going away. All of that stuff's going away. You get nothing when you come into the world, right? You come in with nothing, you're going out with it too. Millionaires go out dead with nothing. And somebody else enjoys their spoils of life. They ain't taking it with them, and neither are you. So commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust. Some Christians don't trust God. Now, what do I mean by that? You might have an idea of trust. But the kind of trust that God is talking about is He wants your life. The Bible teaches us that when you become a believer, you were bought with a price. You are bought and paid for. Your life is not your own. People say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. What does Lord mean? Ruler over. He's your king. Apostle Paul said he was a bondslave to Christ. He gave himself over to spiritual slavery. But this is the best kind of slavery. Because when you are a slave to God, you reap all the benefits. Serving God is what it's all about. Now, I know how I'm supposed to serve God, but you have to work it out with Him how you're supposed to be serving Him. Everybody has a calling on their life. Not everybody answers that call. So, not everybody reaps the blessings of what God has for them. I knew a man who was a missionary. This was his calling. This is what he wanted to do. And he came to a church one time and he was doing a presentation. And I happened to be a visitor at this church. And he was just coming back from overseas. And he lived in, I couldn't tell you what country it was. No toilet, no running water, no air conditioning, flies everywhere. And at the end of that presentation, I said to him, that's got to be really hard work for you. You're enduring a lot over there. And he says, are you kidding me? I love living like that. That's the way I want to live. I enjoy that. God meets all of our needs. I'm thinking, no toilet? Ugh. That bothered me. Because I hadn't been called to pastor at that time, and I'm thinking, what if God called me to be a missionary over there? I ain't doing it. But see, that wasn't for me. This guy liked to rough it. This was that guy's personality. You look at him, and when he says that, you think he's crazy. But that's how God used him. And he was committed. He was committed because he trusted God. But you got to be committed first. You can't say, I feel good after that sermon, and I'm going to make some changes in my life. No, you're not. You can't change your life. It's impossible for you to change your life. You have to change your direction. Repentance means to have a change of heart. You have to grieve over the sins in your life that you have not surrendered to God. Grieve over them and say, I have a change of heart. And throw it on God. And He'll do the changing. But without your will being broken, it's not going to happen. You're going to continue living in the sins that are overtaking you, that have got you in bondage. See, some of us don't realize this, but when we're living in sin, we're slaves. Everybody's a slave to sin who's indulging in it. You can't break free. That's why Jesus came to set us free. That's true freedom, when you don't have to answer the call of sin. I'd rather answer the call of Christ than the call of sin, because there's things out there that I don't even have a desire for, that I know are bad for me. Thank God that I never had a desire to drink, but I understand that there are people out there that do drink. I knew somebody that was an alcoholic, and they told me I couldn't quit. I drank for 25 years. I couldn't quit. And one day I just said, God, please help me quit, because I like drinking and I don't want to quit. I don't want to, but I want to. Does that make sense? The body don't want to give it up, but the heart does. And he came to God, and he said he woke up the next day, and he did not ever touch a drink again. That's because he was committed, and he trusted. He was committed. He committed his way to God. You commit. You give over. You surrender. I'm giving it to you, God. I don't want it anymore. That's what they call laying it at the cross. People used to always say, you need to lay that at the cross. How do I do that? I don't understand that. You commit it to God. Give it over to him. So verse 6, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Listen, when you're living the Christian life, God is going to let everybody see that you're living for him. Because he's going to use your witness to call others in. You're going to be radiant to people like the sun. Don't you want to glow? Or do you want to be this dark figure of evil? We got enough of that out there. We're that beacon of light. You want to change things? You got to draw them in. But you're not going to change anybody into something that you're not. You get that? If you're not patient, if you're not kind, if you're not loving, if you're not gentle, if you're not trustworthy, you think you're going to lead somebody else to be the same as what I just spoke? Do you think you're going to be able to lead somebody else to be those, to have those characters? No. You got to have something before you can give it. You want to be a good example to somebody? You got to be a good example. But God will make your righteousness shine. He'll make sure that people will see your good deeds that need to see it for the sake of the kingdom. So number 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. You got to understand something. King David had it rough. His own son came up against him and tried to dethrone him. His own son wanted to murder him. And King David wasn't always the king. At one time, he was underneath King Saul, and Saul was hunting him and wanting to kill him. He had it hard. He suffered from a disease. But what he's saying in here is be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Some of us don't want to wait patiently. Some believers want to go out and do it their way. Well, I see everybody else getting along, doing fine. Why can't I have some of it? This ain't fair. I've been sitting here for 5 years. Why isn't God using me? Maybe he's using you right where you're at. Or maybe he's using you to the fullest of your potential. Now, what do I mean by that? You want to be used by God? You need to fill yourself up with his word. You can't sit there and preach to somebody something you don't know. Well, I don't want to know all that stuff and talk like a Christian because people make fun of me. No, they're making fun of God. The Bible teaches us that anybody who makes fun of a believer is making fun of God because he's inside of us. You understand that? When they persecute you, they're persecuting him because you're Christ-like. Who are you acting like? If you're acting like Jesus and they're making fun of you, they're making fun of Jesus. They're going to have to answer to that. Not you. Not me. Not us. But we got to wait patiently. Understanding that God is working something out. God doesn't have to show you everything he's doing in your life. Your life is surrendered to him. He can do what he wants. Who's going to tell God what to do and when to do it? Nobody. You can complain and moan and groan all you want, but God is working something out, so you need to be patient so you don't do something silly. So be still before the Lord. You know, being still doesn't always mean doing nothing either. It also means, you know, you can be quiet in front of God and listen to him. Close your eyes and just listen. And he'll come in that still, small voice, that little voice down inside, and you'll hear him. And he's telling you. Sometimes he just says, I love you. Sometimes he says that there's something in your life you need to give to him because it's hurting you. Sometimes he just says, I want to be here with you. But whatever it is, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And don't fret when men succeed in their ways. We see people doing evil things and we think they're getting away with it and that they're prospering from it. And we get envious and we get despair in our hearts and we're thinking, oh man, it's never going to change. Or we get scared. I have a lot of people that panic when somebody comes up with a scheme. And they call me up or they come to me and they say, this is happening. These people are out to get me. Did you pray about it? Well, no, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I understand that God is king. He is ruler. Take it to God. Nothing can happen to the believer without God giving someone permission to do it. I'm telling you. Nothing. People can't hurt you unless God allows it. Now, listen to this. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. People get mad. Somebody says something to you that you don't like, or they tease you in a way you don't like, and they get angry. They don't refrain from anger, and they don't turn from wrath. Now, listen. The first step to wrath is anger. You get mad about somebody. You get mad about something. And you want to do something about it or to them. Don't you understand that what you're doing back to that person is just as evil as what they did to you in the eyes of the Lord? So don't fret. Don't get all anxious and nervous and upset, because what does it do? It leads only to evil when you lose yourself in anger. When you lose yourself in fretting, it leads to evil. People start arguing and fighting and bickering, and no one's getting along. Number 9, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Oh, there's coming a day for the believer where every eye will see Christ, and he will appear. And the believers are going to be in the twinkle of an eye lifted up to his kingdom, lifted up with him in the air, lifted up with him in the air in the twinkle of an eye. But the evil non-believers, the people who don't believe, who did not accept Jesus Christ, they're going to be cut off. But God has a way of making things happen. And when it does, it's too late. Verse 10. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. There's two prophecies being spoken here. David knew that his enemies were going to be cut off by God, and he was going to inherit the land. He knew he was going to be saved by God physically. But this speaks of Jesus' return, too. Listen. There's evil people in this world. They do all kinds of atrocities. We're not innocent. We're innocent now because we have Jesus. But we were once one of them. Now we're separated. You know what holiness means? You hear it all the time. What does it mean? It means set apart. See, God has taken his church and he has set us apart spiritually, so that the desires of the world and the wicked are no longer ours. So that we can be a beacon of light. So that we can draw more people into Jesus. What side do you want to be on? You can't walk the fence with God. In the book of Revelations, he says that if you're lukewarm, right? He says, I'd rather you be hot or you be cold for me. But not lukewarm, because I will spit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm relationship with God is no relationship at all. I didn't say that. Book of Revelations. I'd rather you be hot or you be cold. But rather you're lukewarm and I'll spit you out of my mouth. You're either hot or you're cold. Well, I'm in the middle. Sometimes I like you, sometimes I don't. God don't play that game. He don't play that game. He's got too much character for that. So listen. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. The saints are going to the kingdom. The ones who reject Christ are going to hell. You think God is going to allow us to see those people separated from him? No. Why would he do that to his saints? We're not going to see them anymore. We're not going to be around it anymore. You ever get around people and they are annoying you so bad because of their behavior, you can't wait to get away from them? When Jesus comes back, it's going to be a separation of those people. And the evil is going to be taken away from us. And we're going to have the saints with us. And God is going to separate the wheat from the tares. Think about this for a minute. God knows who the Christians are, and he's going to be picking them out, putting them over here on the side of him. And the rest is going to be thrown into the fire. He's coming for his harvest. Now, you might be fooling me, and you might be fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. And last, but not least, verse 11, but the meek. What does the word meek mean? Meekness means having the power, but not exercising it. Jesus was meek. Jesus could have destroyed the world with a word when they came to crucify him. But he was meek. He had the power, but he was strong enough not to use it. It takes great strength to be meek. It takes great strength to be meek. Now, I know for men, it's like, I got to show them. But it takes a lot more strength not to show them. Because you're the hardest person to hold back, aren't you? But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. God's coming back. He's taken the people that have called on his name, who've accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we're going to inherit the land. We get the prize. We win. And when you have that eternal outlook, when you think about the eternity of it all, you no longer see the grave in front of you. You no longer see the materialistic things in front of you. You see the promised land that God has for us all. And so what I want to leave you with today is this. I want us to have a church that lives for other people, that sacrifices for other people, that gives for other people. I want you to forget about yourself and start thinking about somebody else, not judging them, not looking at them and saying, well, they deserve what they got in life because this is how they are, but having mercy on them like God had mercy on you, and saying to them, and saying to yourself, or better, saying to God, Lord, what can I do to help this person in life? Even if it's your enemy. Love your enemies, right? Jesus loved his enemies. He prayed for them while they crucified him. Did he not? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Your will has to be his will. You have to delight yourself in order to get that will aligned with his. You will get whatever you ask for.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.